Hello and welcome to this special edition of Exiled Eagles, the podcast for fans of the FA Cup Champions 24-25, the people that don't live in England. And if you can tell by my voice, it was a long night. My name's Rob Seltz, and joining me at the moment, we're hoping for one more, but joining me at the moment in Melbourne, Ned Rock. How are you, Ned?
Sleepy, very, very, very happy. Words, I, yep, next.
Beautiful. Well said. And the well, Dale in a sunny London. Dale, mate, how are you feeling?
Oh, wretched, strange, happy, dumbfounded. I can't think of many other words, but yeah, what a 24 hours it's been.
Yeah, and hoping to be joined by Brisbane's finest, Marky Werner. But, as usual, Mark isn't always up to date with the technology and the timing of these things. So I'm sure he'll be on along in a second on his phone. What we're going to do today, guys, we're just going to talk about everyone's different experiences in the different cities today and how they and how we celebrated the incredible last 12 hours. But I think we want to start with Dale, because I think Dale would put something out on Instagram. I think it'd be good for kind of talking about his experiences in general. So Dale, do you want to just let everyone know kind of what you put on Instagram, and then
Yeah.
we'll talk about the cities.
Yeah. Well, this is not about my experiences, but just for me, this is how I summed up yesterday. I just said, simply put, this is the greatest day in our club's history. 15 years ago, pretty much the day we almost got relegated to League One and would have ceased to exist. Now we're the FA Cup winners and have a season in Europe to look forward to. The emotion around us of adults crying, kids cheering, and general looks of disbelief. That's what it means to clubs that aren't owned by states and have endless buckets of cash. To us, today was everything football should be. I was so glad to witness such a moment and cannot wait for Tuesday night. Come on, you Palace. And I think for me, that is the thing. I spoke to a City fan at Wembley Park Station, and you know what he said to me? He said, today is about us out-singing you. That's what it meant to them, not about them winning the cup, out-singing us. Someone I went with has friends who are City fans, and she texts them saying, "Hey, are you coming to the game?" And they were like, "No, we've seen us win enough FA Cups before." And at that moment, I thought to myself, "These aren't fans. These aren't people who wanna who are there for their club through thick and thin." And I just, yeah, just when we won, I thought, "This is what being a true football club." To your community and to your people, which is what it's really about.
Beautiful. And now, just to jump in, joining us live from his missus' place, I believe, where he's like taken refuge after the last. Is Mark Ewan. How are you, Mark?
Oh, mate, I'm good. I'm great. I'm ecstatic, elated, hungover, tired, hoarse, and I wouldn't swap any of it. Given what panned out, I don't know how far down the road you blokes are with this, but yeah, it's just rap, mate. Yeah, a bit worse wear, and it hasn't really sunk in, if I'm perfectly honest.
No.
It just hasn't. I've relayed the evening, and a few people's stories. With me missus over, brunch that was at about 2 p.m. and I fucking burst into tears a couple of
That's lunch,
times.
mate. That's actually lunch.
You
It's
can
just,
actually class that as lunch, mate. You don't have to call it brunch. That is actually lunch.
yeah, no, I realised. So, yeah, and it was kind of weird because it's a place I typically go every Sunday and have done for about 5 years, and I'm always on my own. I'm pat alone, I go, read the paper, order the same thing. I know the girl's there, just give them a nod. And then so I went with my girlfriend for the first time in 5 years today. And then after about 5 minutes of sitting there, if they looked over, I'm in tears. She's holding my hand, and I'm like, "Fuck!" They must be thinking, "Christ, mate, you're better off coming here on your fucking own. This looks awful." Yeah, not obviously tears of joy to them. So, but yeah, it was, mate, what a night. Yeah, it's hard to know where to begin or end, and
Yeah.
yeah, it's just surreal. It's hard to comprehend. It's hard to explain the emotions. So I can only imagine what, you lifers are like, and all the stories that come with, and the father sons that were there, and mate, it's fucking right in the feels, stuff in it.
I mean, I can't be I generally can't wait to hear Mark kind of how when in Brisbane. So what we're going to do is going to literally going to roll through each city, kind of how or like I'll talk about Sydney, Ned will talk about Melbourne, you talk about
Yep.
Brisbane, I was going to talk about London. So I'm going to start with Sydney if I may just might indulge myself a little bit. It was incredible. Again, I want to put a massive shout out to Lewis and all the work he did to get the Madison Hotel. And everyone that helped out, like Paul and Tony DJing, it's incredible. The atmosphere is pumping. I reckon they had, they closed off the upstairs bit. There's a maximum of 120 people up there, and that was closed off fairly damn early. And there was people downstairs too that couldn't get up, and some just snuck up anyway. I want to say a massive shout out as well to all the people that really kind words about the pod, which is incredible because I think we're fairly useless at this, but apparently we're not. People like listen to it; they really enjoy it. And really like what we do, so really appreciate you all coming up and saying thanks. So yeah, I'll get into it. So I mean, I'll talk about my experience, and I'll talk about Sydney as a whole. Like people know, I mean, I live about an hour and a half out of Sydney. Got a bus down because the trains weren't working, and then got a train into the town. So it took me about two and just over 2 hours to get in, well, 2.5 hours from door. From I left my house at 8 o'clock. I walked into the pub just after 10:30. And when I got there, it was busy, and it's great to see some of the old guys. Like Jordo was up from Tasmania. You got.
Can we just say, anyone who doesn't know, this is an achievement in itself.
Thank you very
Not that
much.
it took 2.5 hours, that you actually dragged your sorry ass to go and watch a Palace game in the pub. So well done, Robert. I mean, you could end it there, mate. We're amazed with you
Thank
just for that. Well done.
you.
Thank you very much. What is annoying now is that I did then obviously come home and watch the 3-minute highlights this morning just to make myself feel bad about
Old
that.
habits going hard, mate.
Exactly, 100%. I'll talk about my pre-booked Ubers in a minute, and we'll get to that. But the atmosphere was great. There's the singing, the fact everyone was singing as like there was loads of new faces, loads of old faces. I like, seen people like Kev Winston I haven't seen in ages. It was just almost perfect. It was literally perfect. And then with the game, we kind of the bar staff were unfortunately, I felt a bit sorry for them. Were kind of overawed. Everyone wanted a beer at the same time, but they could. They were fans. The staff were fantastic. When Optus Sport like it went down for that 3 second period. The barman has never looked. I've never seen a more scared person in my life because everyone went, "Way!" And then he came on and like. His face of pure relief when the TV came back on was incredible. But yeah, the atmosphere like when Eze scored, it was just bedlam, pandemonium in at 2:15 a.m. I don't think the pub would expect what happened. People downstairs were messaging saying the roof is shaking, like the whole thing was bouncing. And then like. When the penalty was saved, same thing. Also really nice of the Madison Hotel to recreate the Selhurst toilets for us. Like piss all over the floor, had to queue to get in, was disgusting. So that was a really nice touch as well for them. Like they went the extra mile to.
Toilet seat missing.
Oh yeah, I mean someone did something that basically clogged up one of the toilets. So that was the end of that one too.
When you
So.
say the toilet seat was missing, are we expecting to see that in what, about 3 weeks' time at the A-League Grand Final?
Oh,
Absolutely.
you'd hope so. Yeah, incredible. And then like second half, I felt physically sick. I genuinely felt physically. I wanted to have another beer. I couldn't order a beer because I know I couldn't drink it. I mean, that second half took 4.5 hours. It took 4.5 hours to go through that second half. But again, like when the disallowed goal went in, everyone off. It was just and then the final whistle, the elation we had. A couple guys bought like made FA Cups. One of the guys got behind the bar, was lifting the FA Cup up from behind the bar. It was just incredible. It was so well done. So I want to say a massive shout out to everyone that came because there was not even a hint of anyone getting annoyed or anything like that. It was just an amazing atmosphere. It was so good. It was so good. And then, but like, for me personally, like Mark, going back to your question and the last pod about how am I going to feel when the final whistle went, it was elation. It was carnage. It was jump around. It was, this is the best thing ever. And then I had to take myself away. I took myself away from it all, and I had to just have a minute to myself. Like my, like, I'm not, I don't want to bring the tone down, but like, this is how it kind of came to me. Like, my dad passed away 15 years ago. I mean, supported Paddy. I support Paddy because of him. He never saw anything like this. And like, just having that moment of like, holy shit. I don't know if anyone listened to the Winging It pod, and they had Doc Brown on it. And Doc Brown was like, we know how to react when we lose because we've done it before. But I don't know how to react when I win. And I was exactly like that. I was just like in a moment. And Tony, I saw Tony do the exact same thing. He was just on a chair. He was just standing by a table, head in hands, just like taking it in. And that's exactly how I was. And as you said, Mark, I don't think it's quite hit home yet. We've won the FA Cup. And you know what? The European tour is wonderful. I don't give a shit about Europe. Well, wonderful. I just, this is it. This is it for
Yeah.
me. I don't care about Europe. I don't care about any of that. It's just, we've won the FA Cup. Now you go to the history of Crystal Palace Football Club, major honours. There is FA Cup 24, 25.
Yeah.
And it is everything. Then I came over and
Triangle flags, mate. Triangle corner flags, mate.
That's it. I mean, nothing is more important than triangle corner flags. Oh no, there is one thing more important. Your pre-ordered Uber turning up and not cancelling on you at
I
four thirty in the morning.
was waiting for it.
That.
Just to reiterate, I pre-ordered an Evo on Wednesday, taking me to the airport, and a Mercedes turned up. First time, no cancellations, all good. So it works
Well, it didn't, for
for
me,
you.
six, and two of them actually called me saying, oh, we're going to
You
be there.
obviously have a low Uber rating,
I
mate.
saw one drive past. I saw one drive past me, so I tried to call him. I'm like, you've just driven past me. He wasn't interested. But then that normal cab came, and he was like, where do you want to go? I'm like, Central Coast, mate. And he looked at me, and I'm like, I've got an Uber here for, and I showed him, it was like for 180. I'm like, if you do it for 180, I'll get in your car right now. He's like, okay, sweet. And I was like, that's me done. And I came home, I had about two and a half hours sleep, woke up and watched it with my eldest. So Mark, you could have come down and enjoyed the sofa be
Yeah.
great. It happened. And watching with him was just as good. It was just as good. So I've been on cloud nine all day. Thoroughly looking forward to going to bed tonight though. But once again, incredible, incredible day in Sydney, incredible evening in Sydney. It was long. It was a long fucking day. I woke up at what, 8:30. And it's that realization that the game doesn't kick off for like 17 hours. Wonderful. That you gotta go through the full day. I know I've rambled on a bit there, and apologies if I did, but
Nah, ramble away.
it was amazing. Like the effort that people put in, the effort that people made to come. Like Ross came up from Wollongong, stayed in the exhibition. Hope he's still alive. We don't know. Having stayed in the exhibition, he may not have made it out. Like, yeah, Tony up from Melbourne.
Rob,
Up from Tasmania.
no referee rant for us, or
I
are
can't
we
be
all?
arsed. I can't be arsed. Like I've got, it wasn't a penalty. Mitchell gets a toe on the ball, which is not a penalty move. Like, fuck off. Kevin De Bruyne, two yellows, should have gone. Not interested in anything. That was the one on Eze was a stonewall yellow, and the second one he's going to go. But I mean, today's not the day for referee rants. We're going to do another pod on Wednesday where I'm just going to just talk for an hour and a half about the referee. So look forward to that, because we might as well do that instead of watch Wolves, because who gives a shit about Wolves game?
I do. I'm
I know
going. I
you're
care,
going,
because
but
it's going to be
I
an
mean,
absolute party.
I can guarantee you, well, I can't guarantee you, I probably will up end up watching it, but that there is a strong possibility of the 3-minute highlight package for that one, let me tell you. But yeah, that was Sydney. That was Sydney, guys. It was incredible. Thank you so much to everyone that put a lot of effort to get it done. Thank you so much for everyone that made the effort to come, that made it the night it was. A historic night for Crystal Palace Football Club, and it was absolutely fucking incredible. And thank you is all I have to say for that.
Nice one, Rob. Did the coolers make an appearance, mate, that Lewis was sorting out?
Sorry.
Did the stubby coolers make an
Yes,
appearance?
they yeah, I've got mine. It's in the they. There, I've got mine. I don't know if, I think everyone, if you didn't pick up your stubby holder, then message Lou and see if it's there. But yeah, they're wicked as well.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, they,
I look.
great effort, well done all. Thank you very much. That's all I've got to say. Like, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for making that experience as good as it was. So I'm going to flick over now, Mark or Ned. I one of you want to talk about how it went, and then the next one's to follow on from that. But thank you.
Go on, Ned, you have a crack, mate.
All right, I will. Yeah, so we were at the Dickens. Safe to say that was quite full, and I think they might still have some glassware intact. Not certain, but definitely there were many people on tables jumping up and down at various points. Many tears, much of what Rob has sort of described, same sort of thing. Just one of those ones where I think, we had one of our guys used to be the manager of a different pub, which is where the Man City supporters go. I think at about midnight they had eight, maybe nine supporters in their pub, and we had about 200 to 300 in our pub with our security guard, who is an absolute dead ringer for Ismaili Assar. So he did very well to both be operating security and running around at Wembley. So shout outs to Joey. Yeah, what a night. I think, yeah, as I say, Rob's taken most of the words out of my mouth, apart from complaining about pre-booked Ubers. I just
Never again. Never again.
I took a tram home, so that was fine. I did like the fact that the first post from Rob Seltzer in the chat after winning
Oh.
FA Cup for the first time ever was,
Oh my
"Yeah,
God.
this Uber was cancelled." Like, for
Never
fuck's
change,
sake,
Rob.
hear these
Never
people.
change.
Cheer up, mate.
Well, what was my second post about?
I don't
But
even
my
know.
Uber, your Uber not coming.
Yeah, and in the second post, I had some gripes about the referee. So that was fine.
No, just bulk standard seltzer. But I didn't let that ruin my night, so that was all good. Incredible atmosphere, incredible everything. Shout outs to all of everyone from Melbourne. I have no idea where most of them came out of the woodwork, but it was fantastic to see a bunch of people that sort of were there from the very beginning of those supporters clubs, like your Ryans, your Barneys, and a few other people like that. We had a guy from Mitre turn up with some footballs to give away, which very quickly nearly got confiscated from us, because turns out trying to juggle after about six pints in a pub full of 200 people doesn't go very well, for most people. But yeah, incredible night. Just one of those ones where you sort of get to the end, and as Rob and Dale, you both said, it hits differently, for for Palace fans and for clubs. For clubs like ours, I, there were a lot of people that I've known for a number of years just absolutely in tears at the final whistle. Just, big hugs all round. And it just means so much. I think, that last 10 minutes I was sitting there going, every FA Cup final we've been in front with 10 minutes to go. And it hasn't ended well. And there was just this inevitability as I was watching it. It was the same as you, Rob. I couldn't, sing or drink beers for that last 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was. Just sitting there, it was just, you had that air of inevitability. We're winning, but something's going to go wrong. We'll fuck it up. We'll score an own goal. Kevin De Bruyne will bang a 40-yarder out of his
Should
ass
have
or
been
something.
turned off. Well,
And you're just expecting. And then it just didn't happen. It was just that relief. The final whistle went, and it was just, yeah, you don't know what to do.
Ned, when you say that about the 40-yarder, it's the only thing going through my head in the last minutes of normal time and through extra time was I can't remember who it was against. Remember when they won the league and out of nowhere, Company banged it top corner. And there was a few times, I think it was Jose
Against
Guardiola
Leicester?
or,
Was that against Leicester?
Leicester. Yeah, Guardiola or Diaz had the ball. And because we were so deep, they were able to bring it straight out of defence. Well, I say defence from like the corner, the edge of the centre circle. And I just kept thinking to myself, one of them's going to bang it and it's going to go top corner because they shouldn't bang it. And that's what's going to happen.
No, absolutely. So, just it didn't happen. I was like, every watch Palace for so many years, and it's just inevitable. Like, that always happens, and then it didn't. And so it was more sort of, you got to the end, you're like, is there, this the referee's whistle blows, you're like, is he given a free kick? Is it like what's going on? Because it can't be full time because we're still ahead. Yeah, what a night.
Mate.
And just running around the city like crazy people afterwards, just running into random groups of Palace fans who escaped from the pub as well, just singing songs across the CBD, much to the confusion of the, other half dozen people who were there at 5 o'clock in the morning. Got home at five, explained to my fiance that obviously we will have to arrange the honeymoon for wherever the European games are drawn. Hopefully she's a fan of Azerbaijan, or Romania for a nice romantic honeymoon, which she was obviously thrilled to discuss at 5:30 in the morning, and off to bed, and had to wake up about 2 hours later to go and coach a game which did not go as well, but didn't really give a fuck.
That's so good to hear. It's so good to hear that, and that's my voice. That's literally the last vestiges of my voice is about to go. Good stuff. Go on, Mark. Tell us all about Brisbane.
Yeah, mate, it was an outstanding night. Obviously, bit of a journey for myself too. I live out in the Redlands, so it was a 15-minute car ride to the station, out on the train. Just by pure chance, went into James Simons on the train. We're on our WhatsApp chat, and I said, "Fuck, mate, you on the not on this train?" So I walked up the way, met up with him, and then so yeah. Left home a bit before 8, got to the pub at 10 to, and fuck, still 3.5 hours to kick off, but they don't sort of reserve tables out the back of the Pig and Whistle, as you know. It's just a massive beer garden. Now the game's on, so I thought, well, we're going to be on the big screen, so get the early doors and try and get a table. And no one there, City or Palace. So we were the first couple, and then a few Palace started to drift in. There was one City bloke, he disappeared by about 11. And yeah, it was hard because plonked down, got a beer. I was like, fuck, we've still got 3.5 hours to kick off here. And I was into the Stellars because that's what it called for. And I thought, all right, I've done a peak too early here, keep my powder dry. And didn't really drink that much. I mean, it was merry, but I wanted to make a point of not being fucking sideways, and I want to remember it all. And yeah, probably about, from Tadmalore there, filtering in, meeting some people, and like, oh, that was, I had been chatting to them on Facebook or whatever during the week. And then, mate, all told, I was expecting probably about 40 to 60. I mean, on a normal night out watching a game, it's three. It's me, Matt, and Pete. That's it. Sometimes we'll get an odd traveller or two. So, if it's six is a good turnout. So we ended up with probably 120-ish, 90% I've never seen or will ever see again, until the next cup final or whatever the hell. So yeah, it was great, and sort of tried to press the flesh a bit and say good day to a few people, and then watch the game. I got pretty focused once the game started. It was great. We had a couple of father-son combos there. Tim and his dad, who's previously of your parish, Rob, down in Sydney, and Dale, who lives up here now, him and his old man, and then Callum and his dad, they're kind of, in air quotes, new to the club. They'd watched their first game live in February, on their European tour for his 50th, and so I heard all about that, and then just the joy in their voices and stuff. And they said, oh, yeah, we been watching on telly and got to see it live, and we always watch it together at home. We never miss a game. And then, full time, and Tim's dad is an elderly gentleman, and he's never seen Palace win anything of note. And so obviously every group has all little subplots and stories and whatnot. And so there were no City. There was 6 to 8 City supporters right in the back corner. It was like they were at a fucking kids' table at a party. Sat down the back watching the little telly. Didn't hear a fucking peep out of them, and why would we have? It's fair play to sort of the head honcho looking bloke. He came in amongst us at full time and shook our hands and congratulated us. well played. We certainly thought we were deserving winners, and so I thought that was pretty big of him. I certainly fucking wouldn't have if City beat us. Did shake his hand prior and wish him good luck, but that was about as far as I was going to extend my well wishes to him. So it's just fucking great, man. We own the joint. Pig and Whistle was ours, and everyone was up and about. Good cross section of people, young, old, few girls in there. It's normally a bit of a sausage fest, but there was a few ladies in there. And Kaylee, a nurse, who now lives in Brisbane, and she'd been on the group and chat. So yeah, not nice to meet a few of the new faces. And then yes, far as the game went, shit, I think it was the 8th or 9th minute before we had possession in their half, or something like that. And it was just kind of crazy. They had all possession and just sort of down our third without being peppered or looking shaky. I thought our defence was resolute. It just, even just on the screen, it just looked good. I said that to James or whoever's standing next to me. I was like, we'll fucking do this all day long, mate, whatever. And yeah, a couple of pops at goal, but nothing that was had me concerned. I would have liked a bit more possession, a bit more up the other end. And then, when we did get the ball, we just looked dynamic. Coming out of defence, Wharton pulled off some beautiful through balls in traffic. Just some sublime through balls. And as Eze scores, obviously, pandemonium ensued. I was really hoping, win, lose, or draw. And we couldn't draw. We at least scored. So we'd get, the up and about moment, ideally, to take the lead. And, with that goal, we didn't have the bullshit of a VAR check. You just knew it was going to stand. And, just, men violently hugging each other and screaming and carrying on. It was great. And then it was also like, fuck. Now we've got, 80 odd more minutes to, hang on to this and not fuck it up. And then got halftime still 1-0. The pen, at first I thought well done, and I was like, shit, that's gonna be a pen. He's handballed that out the area. And I just had an inkling, like I thought Haaland was gonna take it, obviously. And then I thought, now this guy's not fucking match fit at all. I reckon he doesn't have the fucking bottle to nail this. And I just thought Hendo would save it or he'd miss outright. And then he passed it off to old mate. And I was like, oh, fuck, this could be a different story. And then I thought, no, I wasn't 100% confident. Obviously, you're trying to save a penalty, but I was more so confident than I would be on any day of the week. Henderson would just pull something out of his ass. And he did. And he did throughout the match. He had some tremendous saves. He was my man of the match. Even as I scored, I thought Hendo was fucking great. I was just screaming out Hendo so
Mate,
long.
they gave it to Danny Munoz in the stadium, which was a
Really?
travesty of justice, an absolute travesty of justice.
Everyone said it was Hendo.
Yeah,
Everyone
mate,
knew it was Dean Henderson.
was Hendo by a streak for me. Not that others had a bad game or whatever. So, and then yeah, we plowed through the game, and then we're sort of 10 minutes to go of normal time again. Like Ned said, it was like fuck, we've been here before, 1-0 up. Got through that, and then when they held up 10 minutes extra time, my mouth was agape, just looking around to everyone. We were like, where was the fucking ambulance that I missed or whatever that came on the pitch? Like, 10 minutes, you're having a fucking laugh. Like, it was
I was
proper.
excited to cut you off. I was exactly the same. I'm like, there's no way there's 10 minutes here, right? If Man City, if you're 1-0 up, it'd be 4 minutes. And then I watched it today. There probably was, because you had the VAR check.
Oh, at least,
The VAR
at
check.
least.
You had Wharton go down for the head. You had Gaye go down for the head for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, looking back
At
on it
least, I
now,
mean.
at the time, I'm like, right, let me at the referee. That's another thing on his book, on the referee. Give me that as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
No,
and
in stadium, we said 8 minutes. We were like, it'll be about 8 minutes. And it's all 6 to 8 minutes, we said in the stadium. And then when they held up 10, again, like you, Mark, we were just like, what?
yeah, I mean, I obviously a couple minutes to go in my head, I was like, oh, what do you reckon? And I just thought 5 or 6. Obviously, I'm a bit drunk and I'm not paying that much attention, but yeah, Jesus, 10. We're flabbergasted by that. And then I thought, oh, fucking, of course, you cunts, here we go. Fucking, 2 goals in 4 minutes or something, and it's all over. But about halfway through that, sort of 4 or 5 minutes to go, I thought, And they're up in the ante, obviously, and we just look sound and resolute. And I thought, no, nah, fuck them. We got this. We got this. And it was drawn out and painful, but I was very, very confident that we would get it over the line, and we did. And that full time whistle went, and I just hugged as many people around me as I could all at once. There were like four men in my embrace, squeezing them, and then me, and I could just, you could feel the energy and the relief and the love and the adulation, the hysteria. Everyone was screaming, didn't know who to sort of hug next, or it was like New Year's or whatever. It was crazy. And then I went over to Tim's dad and embraced Tim, obviously. An elderly gentleman who's never witnessed that before. And I was just so happy for the father sons that were there, all the stories, how it came out, all the lads traveling that went over, Matt and Pete. Matt didn't get over last time, but myself and Peter did. Pete Hutchinson was over with his son Harry, who I sat next to for a year at the Royal, watching the A-League as a child. And then knowing he's over there with his old man watching the cup get lifted, and their other son standing next to me, and Andy, who started the Brisbane Supporters Group, moved back 10 odd years ago with his son. He wrote a lovely piece how, remember his dad taking him when he was 5 years old, and his dad passed away 10 years ago. So then to have him there with his son, who was on the books, I think, at Palace at one stage as a young boy. He's still young. So all that just came in a massive wave, and it's still hard to comprehend, very hard to comprehend. And obviously my own excitement and adulation, your validation, everything of what we said, what it would mean, it has become all that and more. And I go to retell it to anyone who will listen. And but I had some tears flowing today and stuff, and which is ridiculous. I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Your football means nothing, but it doesn't. It just means a fucking hell of a lot. And very hard to comprehend. Obviously, we're in a unique situation than a lot of other teams, to be there or thereabouts, and miss out, get close, so to just get it over the line and be amongst your brethren to experience that was something else. Wembley must have been mental, because just a little old ping and whistle in Brisbane was absolutely heaving. And then it was great to have the club reach out for a brief on their website. And then a BBC Sport London reach out to myself, and I teed up an interview with Matt and Pete with them the day of, and they posted the audio for that. So it made me feel warm and fuzzy that, all this way over here in little old Brisbane, the other side of the world, that, we're not forgotten souls and thought of. And yeah, it's nice. It's always nice to be thought of, and nice to have your support and contributions recognised. It's just great. It's just fucking so good, man. And just stoked. Got home. Unlike you, Rob, I promptly fell asleep as soon as I got in the cab. Cost me $120. And I just woke up in my driveway. The bloke goes, "Mate, you're home." I was, "Oh, fuck, cool." And then got to bed at 5:30 and woke up, and it was not all a dream at all.
No, beautifully spoken, mate. Really nice. Really nice. There's just a couple of things I want to mention before I hand over to Dale to bring us home. One, that 10:30 thing, and it's still 3 hours to go to kickoff, is a real fucking thing. You walk
Oh.
in, it's 10:30, like 3 hours, and then you're like, it's 11:30. Oh, we've still got 2 hours. Half
Yeah.
past midnight. There's still an hour to kick off. The team's only just been announced. You're like, oh, can we just start this goddamn game already? And the second thing I want to mention is that TIFO was incredible. The dad,
Yeah.
two sons. As
Yeah.
soon as it come up, I knew what it was as soon as I saw it, and that kicked me right in the bollocks as well to start the game. Like I'm already nervous. I'm already emotional. I'm already going. And then you see that, you're like, that's a proper football club. It's not just a Man City or like someone put a cup, a picture of a cup up there. No, that is incredible. So Massive shout out to that. So look, what we're going to do now, we're going to hand over to Dale.
Quickly before you head over to Dar, Rob, for those that may not know across it, can you briefly give a background to that TIFO and the story behind it?
If people don't know about it, so the TIFO was a man hugging his two sons. And I'm really sorry, I can't remember the guy's name. But so if anyone does know, please mention it. But so it's from when we played United away in the Carling Cup, and Darren Ambrose scores from 450 yards out. And he goes into the top corner, and the camera pans to the crowd, and there's a dad hugging his two young kids in the crowd, and they're going mad. And a few years later, unfortunately, he passed away. I think he had cancer. He passed away 5 months after. His name is
Mark Willian. Mark Willians. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the surname correctly, but yeah, Mark Willians, I think is how it's pronounced.
Thank you. So unfortunately, he passed away from cancer 5 months after he found his diagnosis a few years later. But that picture is iconic. Every time you see the Ambrose goal, you see that. You see that amazing image, and it's amazing to see. I've got two boys. It's my dream to be able to do that with my two. So the TIFO was that picture, and I've seen it on social media. They were both there. The two sons were there, all grown up, and they saw
nice.
It. That and nice. They saw it, and then they burst into tears as you would.
Of course.
But you know, you see the TIFO in the first game in the semi final with the young boy with that got Andrew Townsend's t shirt. That TIFO that just puts us apart from any other club. Is that we don't?
Yeah,
it
does. And I'll tell you, I'll say being in the ground. So obviously we've
take us home. Bring us home now. Bring us home, mate.
We bring the TIFO. I'll just start on a TIFO because we're there. We bring ours up and it looks sensational. I look and I think to myself, well, City haven't got anything. I look across at the City and I can't remember what their TIFO was, but they had the banner come out and essentially it just talks about how we've won everything. And I was like, again, thinking to myself, there's no soul to you. I remember when you guys got relegated and Main Road was an absolute farce, right? I remember when you went down to League One, and that's and how the stories were when you didn't come straight back up. Then I think they were a club that had some soul and had some community feel. Now it's just a money making, money laundering, sport washing cesspit.
Yep.
But anyway, I digress. So yeah, got back on into the country on Thursday, and the first thing I noticed when I came down my parents' road was a couple of houses with flags and in a window or in the front garden. Some houses had bunting up. Brilliant. Went into Croydon, which is something you should never do anymore, but I went into Croydon. And I noticed Barclays Bank had two massive flags up and loads of bunting. Various shops for pubs would have flags up and good luck to Palace. And, you know, I wasn't here for 2016. So I can't remember. So I don't see it. Don't know what happened. I remember 1990 and the street parties that were going on and how the feels were. And it just made me think about that. Saturday morning, getting up to go to the game. A bit like Rob said, like I suddenly realised, Jesus, we've got ages till kickoff. But where we're at, I just like went to myself, what am I going to do? Like I've literally have got ages. A mate of mine who's a Palace fan was trying to get tickets for 10 days, didn't get tickets. She wasn't coming up. She was down on the South Coast. And then she just texted me and said, mate, I've got tickets. I'm coming. Don't care. I'm coming. She paid 430 odd pounds per ticket for two tickets to come to the game. That gives you an indication of what this means. She brought her boyfriend, who is a Brighton fan. He paid £430 to watch Crystal. And we caught up with them beforehand. Right? So Emmeline's one of my good mates.
Fuck it up. Lost your doubt.
Well, he's peaked. That's it. We've got a beautiful, frozen image of Dale, just with a big grin on his face.
He's back.
We lost you.
I'm back. Sorry.
£430 quid.
£430 quid. Yeah, but he said to us he wants us to win it. He wants us to feel how good it is. Like, you know, it's an amazing thing. So yeah, our gracious hats off to Simon for that, because I mean, I don't know if I could do that sandwich pricing. But yeah, so I went around to my mate's house, who got me the, Claire, who got me the ticket. Not Sarah, Rob. We went up into London, and we made the decision that we were going to go. We were going to go to Covent Garden, but we made the decision we were going to go straight to Wembley, because we didn't want to be stuck somewhere and something happened and you're scrambling to get there. So got to Wembley, went to the Green Man, where Palace fans were, and the atmosphere in there was brilliant. Wasn't stupid. That's the thing. It wasn't stupid. Everyone I spoke to was just, I think we've got this. I think this is as good a chance as ever we're going to have. This is, there's something about it. Great, again, great feelings, great feels in there. The colours, the happiness. I mean, the random guy who was just spent 10 minutes to me talking about Nike P60 trainers, like, great, not really the time or place, buddy, but yeah, your trainers were nice. Then we strolled down to Wembley, to the actual stadium, after quite a few drinks, and just walked into the stadium, and people were starting to file in, and you just think to yourself, crikey, this is, you're looking around and go, and the Palace end was always, well, the Palace half was always more full than the city half. And then it got to about 5 minutes before kickoff, and you just go, you look around and you literally started to get chills, because there was just colours, the red and blue, the flags are up. You looked around you, and there were grannies, like literally, like 2 seats down, there were like grannies. There were people with their kids, their young kids, their dads with their grown-up kids. There were families, that just everyone was there. And again, there just wasn't, the feels were there, like the vibes were high, but there was never anything stupid. There's never, no one was concerned about what was happening. Anyway.
Yeah, you had me in suspenders there.
No, mate. Oh. Go for the game,
Gone
right?
on the quiet there, buddy.
Me?
Go.
Oh, you got
Have I
him.
gone?
No, you're good.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Like, game starts, and yeah, it's just City. And I said to people beforehand, don't care if it's only City, because that's what we want. Right? We want them to come at us, so that gives us a chance. As a goal, and it's hilarious. Our first attack, I just picked my phone up and just pressed record, and I was just like, and we scored, and I just have this on my phone now. So like, that is, I know we can go back and watch an Optus or whatever else, but I have this 30-second block on my phone, which is there for me to watch anytime, anywhere I go. I'll upload it to every cloud there is. Like, it is for me.
So, do you mind if I just jump in here a second, Dowd? Like, so is this the first time you got your hospitality with Claire, or has that happened later?
So, 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 so. A little bit of confusion. We weren't in hospitality.
Oh, gee.
Oh.
Oh, you had to go to the
Which
cubicle
is
in the toilet.
good, which was great, because it meant the most important thing, I could wear colours. If you're in
Oh,
that club Wembley, you're
no
no
cute.
colours, you're neutral. So Emmeline, my friend, the only ticket she could buy on the day were Club Wembley, and she got made to take off her pink Palace female shirt. She had to go and change her shirt. So I was happy not to be in that.
Did she have a
Next
spare
major
shirt
thing
with
that,
her?
I don't know what happened. She had to do something to change. I mean, she had a
Jesus.
spare T-shirt. We said there was no colours, so she had a spare one. Just, and she had to hand in her Palace shirt. Yeah, ridiculous.
Much.
Next major thing that happens is suddenly there's a VAR check, and everyone's like, what's going on? And I've literally just gone, it must be, they must think Dean Henderson handled the ball. And it comes back, no red card, whatever else. Brilliant. The chanting, the singing. I'm going to say it now, City fans are awful. They are terrible. They are the worst. There is, like, there's nothing coming from that half of the pitch. The Palace fans are just going, every, you think of a song, we have sung it. It is like, just, they just don't stop. Half time comes and goes, and the disallowed goal. When that goal went in from Munoz, everyone is going crazy, apart from one guy. One guy is not going crazy. The guy sat next to me literally just turns around and goes, "He's offside." Straight away, just said to me, "He's offside." I've got no, he can't be, he can't be. No. And obviously, it's. I think that guy's probably thinking, "Yeah, you smug Aussie day tripper, but he was offside. Shut up. What do you know?" But again, the feels, the vibes, the chanting, like the suspense, the hope, the anguish is just there. That now you can start to feel the tension. I looked at the clock; it was 63 minutes. I looked back at the clock, which felt like an eternity ago. It's 67 minutes. I distinctly remember that just being a 4 minute gap, but in my head, it was 20 minutes. And then the next thing I see, it's 82 minutes, and I'm just like, "Oh my goodness, we've got this. Get in there." The audible groan, I don't know if it came out on the TV when they put up 10 minutes. Just, and as you said, Mark, Ned said it, Mark said it, every Palace fan is probably thinking, I've seen this story before. I've seen this feature film before. And City are just coming at us and coming at us and coming at us. And every shot is mishit or wide or shanked or something. And I think it must have got to about 97th minute. And Claire had been saying to me every minute that had gone past, she'd gone 91, 92, 93. And that was actually really like calming in my ear, just to have someone saying another minute's gone, another minute's gone. And then suddenly, like, so you get to 97th minute, and you think to yourself, "We're going to win this. We're actually going to." And City had a shot. It went out for a goal kick, and it was the 99th minute and 27th second or something like that, right? And Dean Henderson goes to pick up the ball. He ambles back to his spot. He puts the ball down. One of the defenders comes close. If they want to do a short one, he ushers them away. I look back up. It's 99 minutes and 55 seconds. All I'm thinking is, Dino, you put that into their half. We win the flick on or not, that's got to be time. And like the emotion when that whistle went, I'm not afraid to admit it. There were tears streaming down my face. Absolutely. Claire looks at me, just points at me and starts laughing, gives me the biggest hug. There are people everywhere leaning over. Like, Claire's tell people, "This guy's come back from Australia for this." They're like, "No, you haven't. You sound like you're from London." I'm like, "Well, I am from London, but I also can be from Australia." And these things happen. People just hugging me, telling me, "Mate, that must be the best trip you ever had." I'm like, I can't speak. I literally couldn't speak. Rob, what you said about yourself and Tony, I just stood there for a moment, just like, just thinking, what does this mean? Like, thinking back to 1990, whatever, when I went to watch your 2-2 with Nottingham Forest and my first ever Palace game, to suddenly coming all the way around to winning an FA Cup final. And then all the dumbfoundedness from everybody turned into just a party atmosphere, like the best party atmosphere. The flags are back up, scarves are up. And then there's just this waiting for us to get the trophy. And I've got to say, I think the players did it so well. The fact that they went, obviously, to the fanatics. And you know, I've had my say about them, but they went straight to them, and they could see that connection. You could see what it meant. But they went to every area where there were Palace fans. The cup was there in front of us. Gehi, I mean, what an amazing touch having Joel Ward, Mark Gahey, to lift the cup. Mark thought of you in that moment. Mark Gahey, who went off injured but was able to sprint quicker than he's ever sprinted in a game, lifting his trophy around Wembley. Just great to see. And we didn't leave the stadium for, I think, about an hour before we actually left. So, and I mean, an hour after the trophy lift, not just an hour after final whistle. Trophy list been done. They've done the whole picture in front of the board, and we haven't left. I don't want to leave. I'm still trying to soak this in. I want to see what the players are doing. I want to see how they're reacting. I mean, I've seen some of Chris Richards' 360 cam footage. I want to see Mateta's footage. He had a selfie stick going around. It was just great to see. And then went to the most bizarre place ever. Text or tried to ring Jimmy Howland. No answer. Sends me a text. Mate, we're in Itsu. Japanese little restaurant. Just come here. So walk out of the stadium, what, 2 minutes away. There's Jimmy and his crew, just in a little Japanese fast food takeaway. And I was
As
like,
you do.
"Wait, what you do? As you do." But you know what? The most sensible thing, they serve beer in there, and it's not packed. But everywhere else, it's just carnage. So we're just in there, beers. That's where we saw Clinton. Clinton went past outside. So went outside, got a picture of Clinton Morrison. I said to him, "Clint, how do you feel about this?" And he just said, "Mate, what's there not to feel? This is the best thing ever for this club. We're in Europe." Like, and you could just see the guy. He was so happy for what the club has achieved. And post the match, being on the train, being on the tram, seeing how people were talking about the game, talking about their emotions, bumped into a guy who flew back from Hong Kong, landed Friday, flies back tonight. All right, from Hong Kong, the dedication again. This is what it means to people. I mean, you look at social media. You look at I've seen posts from Wilf, Johnny Esther, Yannick Bolasie, a bunch of past players are all posting about what this means to them. So again, it's not just about Palace being an employer for these people. They obviously leave an imprint on those players that have been part of the club, and to know that we have been part of this, we've gone from, to quote your phrase, Mark, we've gone from plucky little Palace, happy just to be there, to a team who is now going to go on a European journey and who I strongly believe this is the turning point for us as a club now. I don't think Glasner's going to go. I don't think the players are going to go. I think we're going to get a year or two out or more out of some of these players. And I think this could really set us up for something that will be truly transformational for the club. What we saw yesterday is truly something for us to behold.
I think so that it sounds amazing. Like the way you described it, that was incredible. And like what you just mentioned there, I think that's a whole pod in itself that we will do down the track for sure. Just one thing I've been in and out, but as you saw, but the one thing I want to pick up on that Leclerc saying that's 1 minute gone, that's 1 minute gone. That's great. I was watching the seconds tick over, and every
Yeah.
second felt like 4 months. So
Yeah.
whilst you just had someone say that's
Amazing.
another minute gone, I was like, well, it's January, February,
Yeah.
fucking hurry up. And
Yeah.
that from minute 16 when Eze scored. So I'm glad you're enjoying
Now,
it.
just to really add to the tension, the projector at the Dickens had obviously been on all day. In the 97th minute, the big white block comes on in the front. Pack
Right.
the thing. Are you still, this, it's on cooldown, push okay to exit. You've got 60 seconds or whatever it is. And
Yeah, wow.
he's got to get himself to the AV room, which is on the other side of the pub. It's packed.
Oh my
Everyone at the
goodness,
bars just sitting
imagine.
there. Everyone's at the bars just sitting there. It's like, get the fuck the beers. Get this bloke out from behind the bar. Like basically throwing him across the pub to get him over the bar.
Yeah,
Imagine
and
if he was in
then
the AV room.
got up the tension when, so yeah, it's about to turn off in like the night, literally the 98 and a half minutes. It's about to
yeah,
wonderful.
no, I'm going to go one before we go, before we wrap up. I am going to go one Rob Seltzer gripe for the day.
Oh, now I'm in.
Again,
Rob Seltzer enters chat.
Palace were being amazing all day, right? They've done lots of stuff to make the day amazing. They're giving away flags and scarves. Said scarf up here, right? From various collection
Wow.
points.
Fuck yeah.
I missed a chance to get one. That's fine. That's no issue with that. I then went to some random merch seller and he had the scarf. And, "Oh, mate, take one of those." He goes, No, £21." I'm like, "Sorry?" So a scarf that was being given away, and thousands of them were being given away, these bastards were selling for 20 £1.
Same as ticket tells, mate. It's the same shit.
And of course, guess what? Guess what? I bought one because why wouldn't I?
Exactly. Exactly. Is that grows on trees? Money grows on trees. Who gives a shit? Who needs money?
Yeah. Just
want to say, so quickly, I'm assuming we're heading towards the wrap ups here, Rob.
Yeah.
And all things scarf. One thing I found funny that I wasn't expecting was, you know, heading out, getting ready or whatever. Like, fuck, what kit do I wear? You know, and like having a story or a rationale for everyone. Oh, this was that game, but we fucking lost that. Or, you know, yeah, every sort of one had a story. I was like, oh, what's the most applicable here or appropriate to wear? So, took my scarf that I was given by fellow PAL supporters from my day out at Millennium in 04, which we won, obviously. So I took that. That was the omen. Earlier in the day, I saw a bird walk past. There's some little fair thing down by the harbour. Just walked past with the family. They must have been giving out stickers, and a kid's put a nice sundress on, put the sticker right in the middle of the chest and just said, Eagles. Not obviously Palace, but I was like, fuck, that's an omen. That's good. So I'm trying to get all this omen type attire and shit and cobbling that together. I ended up wearing my Cahill kit just for namesake of Tim Cahill, not Tim, obviously. And it was what I was wearing when I got to meet and present Joel Ward, the little Aussie Butler Award on the pitch at the MCG. So I was like, fucking, this is the kit. This is the one going. And it all came together for us. And then, you know, obviously at the end, it was great to see him holding aloft the cup with Mark Gahey. And, yeah, it was really special to see him having his hands, you know, the second most important bit of silverware he's received in his career.
I was gonna say that, yeah, it was, if everyone liked to, every Palace fan, so the hundreds of thousands of fans, or the 1.4 million followers that Palace now on Twitter, would like to message Mark, we'll give his email address in the blurb to thank him for wearing all that stuff. So we yes. To guarantee the win. And it was lovely pleasure. To see Joel Ward to hold up the FA Cup whilst holding the little Aussie bat award as well.
Can you imagine?
That was a lovely touch. Guys, it's been amazing. Sorry for everyone listening that we've been a little bit self-indulgent about our experience, but hopefully you got a feel for how it was in the different cities we were in. Once again, I just want to say thank you to everyone in Sydney, because that's what I know. It was incredible. Thank you to Lewis. Thanks to Madison. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to Ned, Dale, Mark. Thank you to Palace. Thank you to Dean Henderson. I can't speak anymore. I'm off to do the barbecue up the Palace.
Here we go.
Yeah, fellas.
Great cut winners. All right. Two boys. Take care. Enjoy, Dale. Enjoy the rest of your trip.